And I think that just that flipped this switch in me where I was like, okay, fuck you. Watch this.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like
Michaels? Oh my God. Am I on the same level as an MJ? I think I just might be. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 908, part two. You're tuned in to Jim and Them. We're hanging with you boys. We got a very special guest popping in, hanging out with you dudes. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Steele!
I love that you set me up as like, hey, there's going to be a special guest. And people are like, is someone cool? And then my dumbass shows up in a fucking webcam. Like, hey, everybody.
Hey, surprise, surprise, bitch.
Surprise. That guy that's here every week is here.
Well, who would have thunk it? No one would have thunk it.
So I have a confession, Jim.
Yeah.
Adam Scott, friend of the show, Adam Scott, invited me to his birthday party. I don't know if you know that his birthday party's today, but he's like, only one of you guys can go. And I was like, ugh, this is going to really fucking eat at Jim if he knows that he couldn't go. So I was like, how about I just show up to Adam Scott's birthday party, 5 minutes, make an appearance, say hi, drop off a gift, dip. Jim, when I got there, fucking empty, dude. No one showed up. I was the only person that was there. So I like, what am I supposed to do? Just leave? I can't just leave. Because every time I like got up, I'm like, well, things are looking all right. I like put my wallet in my pocket. Like I look at my phone. He's like, oh, you're going? And like there's a buffet. There's like a big, there's a fucking like an inflatable water park. He's got like guys juggling swords and swallowing fire. He's like, you don't want to like hang out a little longer? I'm like, and I'm like, well, I guess like 5 more minutes, but dude. 5 turned into 10, turned into an hour. But I was like, hey, dude, I got to take a shit. And I crawled out the window and now I'm here, dude.
Well, I mean, I guess if anything, if if you're telling me that you saved Adam Scott from having a bad birthday, then that's a sacrifice that I'm willing to take. You know,
it felt
that,
like the right move.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hold on. I'm just trying to make sure I get these. I'm trying to see what settings work. If I have you, hold on. If I put you here, hold on. If I put you here, do you hear any audio from, say, like this here? Wait one sec. We're doing a little live testing, people. Do you hear anything?
I hear it like it's underwater, so I can't quite. I gotcha. It reminds me of what I had mentioned earlier, where like I can hear voices, but like the second Michael was like, "Hey, it's me, Michael Jackson," and then he goes, "Ow!" and then like I could just hear.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, we'll make good. We'll make good either way. You know what? Since we're doing that, then real quick, I'm gonna dip back in real fast to catch up just on a few of Corey's Twitter then, since you're here.
Yeah, baby.
Hold on one sec. Let me go ahead and do the...
Actually, Jim, can I audition for Jeff first?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, you should... Do you want to do a live audition, like, in the moment, or do you want me to just give you a random thing to bit off of?
No, we can just pull up whatever you're going to pull up, and I'll just do my... I'd like to... Hi, I'm Mike Steele. I would like to audition for the part of Jeff Murphy of Jim and Them.
All right. So here we go. So yeah, all right, Jeff, hanging out. Here we are where Corey's Twitter, everyone's favorite segment, checking in with your boy. So Corey Feldman, so I'm doing this hashtag Stand By Me Live tour this weekend. And of course, I've been doing lots of press for the re-release of hashtag Stand By Me 40 in theaters. And somehow they felt it necessary to keep bringing up that awkward Oscar moment. Here's a response from entertainmentweekly.com.
Oh, is the response like an Indian guy? Oh, hello, I'm Corey Feldman. I'm Chinese and gay. Thank you.
You know what?
Just give me a call. I'd really love to play Jeff if you have the space for me.
I think you might be. I think you're at the top of my list now. I got a couple really strong fucking
contenders?
Yeah. Thank you.
Shit, now I'm being a bad Jeff because I'm like contributing. Fuck.
I had a couple of really good contenders earlier, but now I think I'm putting you at the top of my list for the callback.
All right, cool. Awesome. I'm feeling really good now.
But yeah, let me check in. And what's funny is, I mean, this is the actual article. He did link it. It was from Entertainment Weekly. Now, I kept seeing this headline. The other version of this headline was Corey Feldman breaks silence on Oscars snub. And all I could think of is like, when was he silent? What are they talking about?
You have to be silent to break that silence. And all that dude did was just yap and yap and yap about it.
It's because it's barely a thing. I don't know why anyone's asking him about it. I don't know why this is even a headline anymore, because he's never shut up about it the whole time. But yeah, Corey Feldman addresses being left out of Rob Reiner's Oscar tribute. Family reunion, family reunion I wasn't invited to. Feldman speaks to Entertainment Weekly in a reunion interview with Stand By Me co-stars Jerry O'Connell and Will Wheaton. Well, it's so funny because I guess they kind of have to ask him because they're like, wow, Will and Jerry, that was so powerful being up there on the Oscars stage. And then they have to look over at him and be like, I mean, I guess it sucked that you didn't get invited, huh? Right?
Well, here's the thing. I think that people want this... people want to rub it in his face as much as he wants to be offended by it so that he can talk about it. Because think about it. Like, was every single actor named or like minor that's ever been in a Rob Reiner movie on that stage? No. We did joke about how it was a pretty big group of people, but
yeah,
it wasn't everybody. So inevitably, I bet we could find a couple other like Corey Feldman level names that weren't on that stage, right? No one's fucking writing about them.
That's true.
And so at the end of the day, I think if Corey didn't want to be asked, he wouldn't be like continuously talking about it. People want this to be a thing because they want it to be a thing. Like, you could just go like Jim, if you like, if someone asked you about your, like, when you showed up on that Hack the, was it not Hack the Movies? What was that?
Oh, movie podcast? Who Are These Podcasts? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, when I was on Who Are These Podcasts.
Yeah, when you were on that, if someone asked you a question, would I be like, nothing for me? Like, that would be weird. Yeah. I would be the weird guy, right? So I think that Corey's forcing it. I think that other people know that he is, like, a powder keg, and so they're walking up with their lighters, like, trying to make him explode.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I think we've already gone over this, but honestly, the main... All he would have had to have said... And what he should just keep saying every time is, would have been great to be there. It was amazing to see my fellow Stand By Me actors, Will and Jerry, up there. You know, it's all about Rob. And he kind
of... His first response was that, right?
Yeah, he surrounded that idea, but he threw in a lot of other stuff. Like, he knows that's the answer, but he can't help but, like, fill it out with a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, I respected his first answer because it was like, I'm sure that Will and Jerry will do great. But then he's like, also, it sucked and I didn't miss anything. And you're like, whoa, come on, Corey, you almost did it, buddy.
Corey Feldman's opened up to Entertainment Weekly about his feelings on being left out of the Oscars tribute. In a joint Entertainment Weekly interview with co-stars Jerry and Will, tied to the re-release, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, Academy Awards, they actually let us know. There were 17 stars from Reiner's projects united on stage to honor the legacy of the filmmaker, who, alongside with his wife Michelle, was found in his California home in December 2025, following an apparent homicide. I think Jerry and Will did what had to be done. It was a fleeting moment, so I don't feel like I missed much at all. It's like, put it down.
What a piece of shit. It sucked, so maybe the real losers are the ones up on stage. I was at home sipping a milkshake and hanging out with my hot girlfriend.
It was a fleeting moment, so I don't feel like I missed much at all. I personally was probably maybe a little bothered by the fact that nobody got to speak or do or say anything from their heart, Feldman says. Although they did a wonderful job, I would have liked to have heard from Will and Jerry and a few other people up there. I mean, I kind of get what he's saying, but it was clear, like, they had, like, if Billy Crystal came up and only said a few things, it would make sense if they had a few people say some stuff. But Billy Crystal kind of went on for a little bit. And then it was like, he was talking about his history with Rob Reiner. They had a wide shot where he kept going and you saw all the posters. And then that was building to the big moment of the posters rising, and here are all these stars that are there to honor him. But it's so, like, wow, that's fleeting. Didn't even get to talk. So stupid.
Nobody got to do their own personal dance numbers. Like, what would have even been the point of me being there?
It reminds me of having to dance to Baby Got Back on Dancing with the Stars. Horrible moment. It was fleeting. Feldman continues saying, it is what it is, adding that he likes that the Academy chose to honor the great memory of Rob at all. Still, personally, it felt a little bit like a family reunion I wasn't invited to, but we're not going to use this time to go into my feelings about that. Instead, I just want to say that I'm with the rest of us. We're all very destroyed that things went down the way they did. Losing Rob when we all thought he'd be joining us at some point for this tour.
He keeps saying that.
Always,
dude. He needs to stop saying that. I know that Jerry and Will have also said that, so that almost makes me want to take it more seriously. But I think that when you have to bring into someone's past, to kind of like they're saying it because they're like, yeah, wouldn't it have been great? Maybe that would have been happening. Where the way Corey says it is like, basically the week after is when he was going to make his first appearance. He was going to be there. He had all these great stories to tell, and then he was killed. And like, he really tries to make it seem like, come see our show. Rob was going to be there. Rob wants you to be there.
Yeah. It comes off as a way to pivot back to, anyways, while we're here to talk about the tour would be great. So, yeah, EW reached out to representatives for the Academy for comment. It's funny because they're probably like, what? No, we're not going to comment on this. Like, it is what it is. We didn't invite him. What do you think? Why do you think we didn't invite him?
Yeah, what's there to say? Like, That why didn't yeah wanted to ask about why Mike wasn't invited? Mike Steele. We have no comment. There's nothing to say. He kept surprised. Lots of people weren't invited.
Feldman was a child actor at the time of Stand By Me's production. He admits, yeah, we all would have loved to have been able to say goodbye on our own ways. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. The best way we can say goodbye is honoring him and his work and his film through these tours. Yeah, again, with the tour.
Yep, yep. He can't help it. Like, I get it. You're doing a tour. There's a time and a place for that specific quote, and it's not right there.
Yeah, yeah, no. Like, well, especially because you already brought it up. You're bringing it up again like a second later.
Yeah, come on.
Even better than being on the Oscars stage is being at the tour where we are. And you could buy a poster or a t-shirt or even a Funko Pop.
Even better than being honored for my lifelong dedication to the craft of acting is being in a concert hall that's half empty, surrounded by people that are leaving before it's even over. While my girlfriend sells a single Funko Pop in a box that has water damage.
What's hilarious, though, because I keep hearing more and more about... he had a post recently, actually might even be on his Twitter, where he said that he sold all the merch. But I'm realizing, like, it kind of is a good racket that he has, because even the few people that wrote in, like, to us, whether it be emails or letters or whatever, they all mentioned that you were kind of forced. I mean, I guess I'm mixing up the Goonies and Stand By Me, but I think it's the same. Like, he won't sign anything unless you buy it from the merch store. So that's quite a racket, because some people are like, fine, fuck it. I'm here, and when other time am I going to be able to have him sign something? So if he's only going to sign something I buy, I'll go buy a fucking Funko Pop. Because
I'll mortgage my house and buy this Funko Pop. So, my wife will be pissed, but it's going to be worth it.
Like, it's literally like a ransom. Like, it's like you have to.
It is a fucking rip. He's basically you're like walking in there and they're handing you like a piece of paper with fucking clipping from a magazine. I will only sign things if you bought them here and there. And you're like, oh no, God, please don't hurt my family.
So yeah, the best way we can say goodbye is honoring him and his work through these tours that we're doing and these interviews and getting people to take the moment and time to acknowledge the history of his work and art that he created. And hopefully going out there to celebrate him one last time on a big screen where it deserves to be seen. So, yeah, then they just kind of quote his previous tweets where he's saying the same thing. And
but also kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
I know people think that I'm being silenced, and I am.
So, and actually, yeah, so they have the number. It was 17, and here's the list. We got Jerry O'Connell, Will Wheaton, Billy Crystal, Meg Ryan, Demi Moore, Kathy Bates, Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, Fred Savage, Carrie Ewells, Mandy Patinkin, Carol Kane, Kiefer Sutherland, Kevin Pollak, Annette Bening, John Cusack, and Daphne Zuniga. Missing Corey Feldman.
If we looked up Reiner's biggest movies and like just said, hey, who were the top four billed from any of these movies? If they're a big name, were they on that stage? Do you think we would find, let's just go over under. Do you think you'd find over under three bigger names than Corey Feldman that weren't on that stage?
I bet you we would, honestly.
I also kind of feel like we would.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Corey's full of shit.
Exactly. Exactly.
If the answer was the other way around, I would feel like I've been in situations where I feel like I'm singled out. I am the only person that's not doing something or not somewhere or not talking to someone. That sucks. But if I'm not, then it doesn't matter. And that's the only reason Corey could turn this into something is if he was like, literally, it's like if our, again, if I asked that same question, we're like, dude, we don't know who any of these people are. They really did get anyone who you've ever heard of and put them on that stage. Then Corey would have a leg to stand on.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only name I would think is maybe, and that could just be my own perception that's maybe, like, I guess, quote, lower than Corey. Because Daphne Zuniga feels like out of nowhere.
She's the one that I would agree is, like, she's the weak link on that stage. And, I mean, even, like, and this is not a dunk, but Fred Savage was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
in the movie, in the like outside of the framed narrative. So in your brain, you don't even think of the fact that, like, oh wait, he was in Princess Bride. Like, yeah. You think of Cary Elwes and Mandy Patinkin as the Princess Bride representation, but you forget mm-hmm. that's why Fred Savage is there. So like they did grab obviously multiples of people and stuff, but at the same time, it's not like they're like, no one from Stand By Me is there.
Yeah.
Like, you've got three big, well-known stars that still do things today on stage representing that movie. So I mean, it's Corey can act offended or act above it, but he's just glad he has something to bounce his stupid opinion off of, because you know, the only thing worse than being off that stage is if that stage didn't happen and he couldn't act offended by it.
Yeah, it's because you're right. It's like they have to ask him. I mean, I guess they kind of have to ask him because he's there with the other guys, but it's also because he keeps making a stink about it. Like, it's not just the media asking about it. It's him. He's tweeted about it a bunch of times. He's mentioned it. There was definitely, I mean, maybe this, actually, no, what was that interview we watched last week? I guess that maybe that was Entertainment Weekly. Because remember when we looked at him and he was already in that stance of like looking at them answering about being at the Oscars? I wonder
that was Entertainment Tonight, right?
Oh, okay, that's what it was. So, I mean, I guess he was probably doing a big stink during the interview. So they're like, oh, okay, actually, you know what? What do you have to think about not being invited? Well, it was fleeting.
He's like putting together a Lego set. Oh, I just thought I'd have some fun since I assume none of the questions are going to have anything to do with me.
And then, yeah, someone on Twitter did say, you really said, quote, it was a fleeting moment, so I don't feel like I missed much at all. Well, am I wrong?
Wow. I can't believe you replied to that, because that's someone being like, hey, Corey, you showed your ass, bro. And he's like, did I?
Didn't I? Because, I mean, other people are like, well, someone was just kind of like, hey, they owe you an honorary Oscar for Friday the 13th, part 4. Any good stories? My fave of the entire series. And, I mean, clearly that person is just trying to be like, hey, I love you in Friday the 13th. I don't know if they necessarily think he deserves an Oscar. And he's like, that will never happen, LOL. Doesn't give him a good story or anything. Hey, Corey, can I ask you what it's like working with Crispin Glover? I love that dude. He probably hated that, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. Well, especially because he's like, yeah, hey, I threw you a bone. I replied to your tweet for no reason. I'm not going to answer your question. What am I?
Because this was some dude had tweets about us, and then he deleted them.
What? Were they good?
Yeah, they were good.
Wait, why did he delete them? Does he hate us now?
I don't think so, because he still follows, because I asked E-Rock for the screenshots. He had screenshots of these. Let me find them real quick. Because, yeah, but the guy did, like, you don't have to, like, tag Corey in it, but, I mean, I'm not saying you can't either, but it's clearly going to get you banned or get you a weird response if you tweet about us and mention him. Hold on, yeah, let me pull this up. Because it was Dr. Ted Stryker. Dr. Ted Stryker had some good words about your boys. One sec. Yeah, because he had said, yeah, criminally underrated channel. I'm all in on Jim and Them. This shit's fucking hilarious. At Jim and Them, at Corey Feldman. And then he has like a picture of like us on the TV and like us on his laptop. So it's like, yeah, very cool.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Did you retweet that?
I did. And he said, the irony of always thinking Corey Feldman was a fucking nut and then finding this YouTube channel has me ate up. And then he replied with his bullshit, if you like pedophiles, you'll love them. So again,
dude, he's really going fucking hard at us. like it's one thing to like be like, they're mean to me. But like, he's just like, fuck it. You know what? They fucking suck kids, and then they help other people fucking suck kids. And it's like, whoa. Pump the brakes, Corey.
Because even people in our last video were commenting like, I can't take legal advice just from YouTube commenters, but people are like, this feels like it's really pushing into like a defamation type. And I guess he could maybe try to have that argument about us, but we're literally like bringing up his music, bringing up his movies, TV shows, reality show appearances, interviews. Like, we're not just outright saying he's a pedo or whatever. We're like poking holes. We're pointing out inconsistencies in stories that he has, or pointing out things that other people have said, like whether it be Margot or Jezebel or just like the general vibe from other people. He's literally like, he's not even saying like their show's bad. It sounds like the quality's terrible and they're, you know, this and that. They're just like, no, they're pedos. And if you like pedophiles, then good. This is a show for you.
They're just for you.
But yeah, I don't know why this dude, I don't know if this dude got scurred or what. Cause then yeah, Keith in the Night, who's a real one. He did say they really are the best dudes. And then yeah,
Keith's a real one.
Corey threw in the, yeah, if you like pedophiles, you love them. And then Sean Flynn, like, is what makes them pedophiles or pedophile protectors? Just say you don't like them.
Mike. Yeah, yes, exactly.
Mike Steele has won Heather Don May's heart, so they can't be that bad.
If you like pedophiles, here's the podcast for you, Jim and them.
So I guess, yeah, Elon Musk said, stand by me. I don't know what he was referring to.
Thanks for the shout out, Elon. Did you get to the theater to see it? Probably not, because I'm sure you just call the projectionist to run it anytime you want. But hey, we, the Stand By Me crew, appreciate the shout out. Just curious, what were the 18 number one hit movies you were in?
Number one, Yo Mama. Number two, Yo Mama Part 2. Number three, Yo Mama, Mama's Revenge.
Number four,
Yo Mama's Mama.
Number five,
Too Many Mamas.
Number six, etc. Like, dude, go. If you're going to do the bit, you better do the fucking bit. Don't quit at six.
Well, and also, should six be etc. or should it end at five and then say etc.?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I think he just couldn't come up with another one, so he's like, etc.
Well, he was already floundering at four, Yo Mama's Mama, and he's like, fuck, I guess Too Many Mamas. Because, yeah, six just looks like the movie was called Etc. So, yeah.
Also, my other number one film, Etc. It's so good.
I think that he might be hip to the fact that no one asks that except people that like our show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I think not, even he...
No matter how nice they ask it, I think he has decided that there's no way that that question is being asked from someone who doesn't know us. So it's just like, now it used to be he was like weirdly not answering for unknown reasons. Now I think he's definitely not answering for very known reasons.
Yeah, no, the word has to be out. The only people, because he went through his life where no one ever just second guessed it, because I get it. We've talked about this before. It's a good lie because if you know who he is, you're like, oh, yeah, he was in all those movies when I was a kid. You know what I mean? So if he tells you he's got 18 number one movies, you're like, well, I mean, there's a bunch of classics that I still hold in high regard, and I know he was in a bunch of other movies, so I assume that's true. It wasn't until your boys came through and started really, like, digging in a little bit. He's like,
actually 13 number ones now that I think about it.
I mean, that would be a nightmare. Can you imagine? So think about it. Like, we've been doing this show for, like, almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Imagine if someone just was like, you know what? I'm starting at episode one, and every single thing anyone says, I'm fact-checking, and I'm sending them an email. I'd be like, oh, fuck, dude. I don't even want to check my email. I think he's in the 200s now. Yeah. That's when I was making a lot of jokes about this and that. Fuck, dude. Sometimes I just said things. I don't know, man.
Yeah, that you'd be like, come on, get a life, you fucking pedos.
Yeah, you fucking pedo protector. Fuck you.
Okay, this was another one about his April Fool's, I think. Oh, someone, yeah, this was his April Fool's joke again about Stand By Me or Stand By Us Fools. And then Ray Moore said, is it the adventures of sad old geezers or is it your own kids on their own coming of age story? Not down for adventures in Geritol.
I thought you were writing it.
Hey, this is a perfect example of no matter who wins, we lose.
Yeah, just don't I get you probably scrolled and saw it. It's annoying, but just don't reply to it.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that this person replied to that. I thought you were writing it. Oh, in that case, bend over for Wesley. His turn to dream.
Wesley? What? There's no character named Wesley.
He's replying?
So in the famous words of our prez, you're fired.
Does it keep going? Honestly, interesting fact, the real location is right here. But no shit that, I don't, whatever. I don't know what this is. But
why
it's funny.
Giving a fact? She just got fired.
Yeah. Bend
working
over
for free, right?
Bend over for Wesley. His what turn to dream. Mean? I assume, I mean, I guess it's some sort of child rape joke about him, but
what do you mean? Wesley wasn't even there, dummy.
Is it a Wesley Crusher joke?
Hey, is that wasn't a, that who's
his,
that?
That was his, that was his, that was, what's his name? On Star Trek.
Oh.
Not Jerry. Well, that was Will Wheaton's character, Wesley
Crusher.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, I don't know shit about Star Trek. Maybe it was. Could be.
Well, you know what, Jim?
Yeah.
In the famous words of our president,
yeah.
You're fired.
You're fired, bro. This one's good because I love when he replies to these random viral, not even viral, where they're just like, actually, this isn't, I thought this was a thing asking for caption. Because you know how you see those that are like, caption this?
Yeah.
Literally all this says is, it's modern history, June 14, 2006. It's Scottie Pippen with some ladies. And actually, you know what? This is a pretty good one by Corey.
Excited.
Because if you look at Scottie Pippen's pants there,
he peed himself.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's just because they're acid wash or if it was the style at the time.
It's got to be like the lighting or something, right?
But actually, yeah, do you think you can, you call what Corey's joke might be here?
He says Scottie pissing, right?
Yeah, he does.
I mean, here's the thing. Swoosh. Yes. Corey fucking got it, dude.
Like, Scotty.
There's other people that can make that joke. Several people. Me, Corey. We can all find our way to that joke. Doesn't make it any worse. That's a good joke.
Scottie Pissin. Yeah, great ball player. LOL.
Then Steve Coulier said, it was Gatorade, Corey.
Oh, they just dumped it over the wrong head by accident. Got it. Thanks for the clarity.
And then Steve Coulier came back. Oh, you being devilish now.
Slow it down, buddy. It's only comedy.
What is this exchange? Jim, I feel like this is like what is it called in a reverie in where the robots that walk around, what's that fucking TV show, the HBO show?
Is it not Westworld?
Westworld. Oh, yeah. Westworld, okay. How like they have their reverie, like it's the thing that they do, like whether someone's around or not, that like makes them feel slightly more human. I feel like this is both of them doing their reverie, because this is an insane thing for Corey to reply to, but then for this to turn into a conversation, I'm baffled.
Yeah, this is like when you're running through a Final Fantasy village and you go back to the guy and he just says it again. Slow it down, buddy. It's only comedy.
Exactly, yes. 100%.
And you're like, oh, wait, maybe this guy's saying something. Like, I can't find where to go anymore. I guess I'll talk to this guy again. Slow it down, buddy.
Slow it down, buddy.
It's only comedy.
Fuck, I need to check game facts.
One of my favorite things about this show is that we get to highlight this amazing exchange. Now, at least people saw the Scottie Pissin one, but as you go down the thread, less and less people saw it. Because no one got to see they dumped it on the wrong head. That only got one like, which was probably Steve Coulier. And then here on this other one, Slow It Down, Buddy, It's Only Comedy, has no likes. It says it's got 40.
Can you see who liked it?
I don't know.
Like, I think it was probably Corey liking his own tweet, right?
Oh, that would be great. It doesn't really, I'd have to like it. It doesn't really like let you look at that anymore, which is annoying.
I think it was Corey.
Oh, maybe actually, hold on. Post, no quotes. No one quoted it. Slow it down.
That's a
buddy.
Bad joke. Corey basically ruined his earlier good joke by making a later bad joke with one like. Corey definitely liked that tweet himself.
Oh, he changed his profile again. Oh, what, to the birthday now?
To
come
the birthday?
On.
Ugh.
Put it back on Stand By Me, bro. Slow
Change it down. To Adam Scott.
Yeah, it's on his birthday.
Yeah.
The Sony Pictures was just tweeting about the screenings.
Stand By Me.
There you go.
40th anniversary. This weekend in 500 screens across America. Don't miss it. What do you guys want to say?
I am the best in the movie. Why are you laughing? I mean, so many people are going to fall in love with River Phoenix.
And I'm one of them. I am so excited for you to get out with your friends and your family to see this movie in a theater the way it was meant to be seen. Stand by me, 40 years, come out and see us. Stand by.
So someone says, Dr. Sanjay replied and said, Verno turned out to be the best looking. And then Corey couldn't let that go.
I have to disagree there, LOL.
Lol. That's the perfect lol, though. Because yeah. It's like, is he serious? Mm-hmm. Is he not serious? How fun. What a fun guy this guy is.
He was definitely, you know, he was serious, too.
Go back to the video gym and watch when Will Wheaton, a very earnest answer, look at Corey the entire time. Corey thinks he's the main character of everything.
Yeah.
Because he won't even let Will Wheaton talk without just like, he's like dancing around and kind of looking at the guy that's holding the camera and like, yeah. Going, like high-fiving him and trying to grab the camera.
Yeah, he does. Let me play it. Because he does kind of like reach over, like he's going to like move the camera point of view.
I mean, there you go. 40th anniversary this weekend in 500 screens across America. Don't miss it. What do you guys want to say?
I am the best in the movie. Why laughing? Yeah. I mean, so many people are going to fall in love with River Phoenix.
And I'm one of them. I am so excited for you to get out with your friends. And
yeah, there he goes.
To see this movie there in a theater the way it was meant to be seen. Stand by me.
Don't forget about me. You're gonna.
I know
love
you're looking. I know Will's talking, but me, it's Corey.
Let me see. What are these ones again? Oh, Jesus. What is this Phil stuff? I think we already read these, though. Hold on. Oh, actually, no. I'm going to save this one because he shares that someone found that Truth Movement song he was talking about. And it's it's really different. I was surprised because it sounds a lot different than his other stuff. But let me see here. Oh, yeah. Thanks
for this.
Oh, this was the shout out Elon one. And someone says, what 10-year-old runs your X account?
My name's Billy Williams. You can write me at Lincoln Park Elementary in North Hills, Iowa, care of Mrs. Snotgrass.
Ugh.
Like, again, no likes. Just replying for no reason.
Let's pretend this was a caller, Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
What we'd say about this is, hey, you had an idea, which we appreciate, but you went on way too long, and it was very half-baked. And maybe you would have been better off just doing nothing.
Yeah.
That's what you look at this reply and go like, I guess technically Corey had an idea is pretend that there's a little kid. But what it could have started, he could have just like ended that put a period anywhere in that sentence. And it's fine. After the word, my name is Billy Williams. Anywhere in that sentence can have a period and the tweet becomes better. But the further in that sentence the period goes, the worse it's going to be.
Yes. And it's like, you've ascended to hell or descended into hell when he gets the care of Mrs. Snotgrass.
You'd fucking drag me to hell. Where like, she's like, it's just her arm, but like you can see her eyes are like getting all like popping out of her head. Like her face is melting. It's like, that's the phase you're in.
Let me see. Okay. Yeah. That was him with the song again. Someone said he looked like Dylan Mulvaney. They did a Brothers in Flops. He does come back with a,
yeah, except the fact that my 40-year-old film just made $500,000 in 2 days this past weekend from only 500 screens with one or two showings per screen, which means my films still make more than you ever will. Bye.
So he's really trying to
film.
He's trying to be cunty with him here. He's trying to really serve some cunt on this person.
Yeah, he's trying to take a lot of ownership of that film right now, too. Yeah.
Someone says, congrats, which film?
Wait, is this the same person? I got him. Boom, boom, boom.
It's some other person, too. What's your end?
I have no end. I'm just a small part. Doesn't matter, though, because I'm still a part of something incredible, which is a lot more than I can say for the creator of that meme.
I mean, again, what he's saying, yeah, fair enough. But like, dude, you're lowering yourself by even writing this stupid. It's like a elementary school kid that's like, oh, yeah, well, my dad could beat up your dad type bullshit.
Yeah. You know what this is? This is a rare moment where Corey is punching down.
Yes. Yes.
Normally he's so low that there's no he's incapable of punching down. This is him punching down.
So low. No, that's absolutely true. So yeah, just him getting all upset, like with easy ass bait, by the way, too. I mean, he does kind of look like that trans woman, Dylan Mulvaney.
I didn't know who Dylan Mulvaney was, but it does feel like Corey has like thinly veiled resentment towards trans people. Because he does kind of like dunk on them a lot.
Well, take like, taking the bats by the bases.
Yeah.
Let me see here. And then we got, can I get a retweet? Oh, this one made me laugh hard. Can I get a retweet? Corey Feldman lost everything in a fire. Rebuilding with cardboard, $1, one idea at a time. Join Cash App using my link. I'll get $5. And he's like, please tweet me again next week and I'll do it. Right now, my timeline is reserved for Sony Pictures hashtag StandByMe40 promo God. All weekend. But hang in there. I got you.
Like, all right, Jim, when was this?
This was the 29th. So, yeah.
Okay, so next. Okay, Jim.
Dude, yeah. Either Sunday, because Sunday would be a week, like whether he counts Sunday as the beginning. Or Monday at the latest, then Monday of the 6th, you better be retweeting this Cash App, right?
You need to save this, and yeah. We need to follow up, but also save the guy that said, hey, can I get a retweet? So we can see if he does indeed tweet at him again, and Corey just ignores him.
Yes, yeah, he better.
This is worthy of a follow up right here.
Hang in there, I got you. Thanks, bud.
And, oh, even better, Jim, if he does tweet at Corey and Corey doesn't retweet it. We should retweet it.
Yes. Yes. Although this guy might even be a troll too, but either way.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
He might not be. And here's the thing, Jim. I'd rather give someone $5 that might need it.
Yes.
And then just assume they're a troll because I'm a good guy.
Yeah. And I'm not going to make an empty promise too. Like, sorry, promoting my movie. Maybe next time. Next time.
Yeah. You're going to have to tweet at me next time. Hey, yeah, can you tweet at me next week? Right now, we're talking about Hackamania.
I do like this poster that they were selling that this person bought. Such a classic movie. I remember seeing it the first time in the back of my dad's pickup truck at the drive-in movies back when I was 8 or 9. I just need to get this poster signed somehow. If only someone could help me out. Cough, cough, Corey Feldman.
It's got to be like a shitty thing, right?
Sorry, pal. I'm not reading this stuff while working. I got a job to do. But I'm sorry. We didn't meet on this one. Maybe next time.
What are the odds? I'm confused about this entire response.
I agree. I don't understand what this, like, I mean, I guess the guy bought it at the screening, but I guess he didn't pony up for the VIP. So, sorry, pal, I'm working. I can't do this shit. What do you think?
I guess it's does he think it's like his way of saying you should have bought VIP, but you didn't? But he's like, I have to really make the wording super separate so that people don't go like, look, Corey's on the internet telling people like, get fucked if you don't buy VIP or something.
And I really think it is, because I think he kind of mentioned this before. I think when we found that stalker guy that he was talking to, remember, he was saying like, sorry, man, like I'm working. I'm in the like I have to take care of the people that paid for the tickets, which was actually kind of reasonable. But
sure.
He's kind of edging up to the same same verbiage where he's just kind of like, sorry, man, I got a job to do. But, like, again, just kind of don't – just, like, act like you didn't see it. You know? You don't have to
– Yeah. If I was Corey – here's the thing, dude. I mean, that guy called in earlier. I did, Jim. I left the Facebook message. I couldn't – I didn't know to do anymore.
Okay, yes. Yeah, the guy that called
in. Yeah, because he called in, and I was like, oh, my God, it's the fucking guy. which is funny because we were just talking about him in the Discord before, and I was like, yeah, there's this fucking guy that just, like – like, don't get me wrong, he's not like a bad guy, but
yeah.
I've always been confused by the fact that he just messages us like we're his pals. He doesn't send us Corey stuff. He doesn't say, he just kind of like, hey guys, check out my, what's your favorite sandwich? Like, it's just, yeah, we're like, here's a meme. And today I don't know, man. The thing you sent was just so vapid.
I don't think I even saw it.
That I just was like, you know what? I've been leaving him on red pretty consistently to try and be like a nice letdown. And he really, we gave him like 4 months of being left on red and only occasionally getting answers. At this point, I'm just going to leave the chat. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to see if I can. And I right-clicked it and I could. And so I did. And it felt good, to be honest. It felt vindicating. I don't hate you, guy. But also, clearly, based on your phone call, you knew what you were doing, I guess. And
he kind of knew, yeah.
Yeah, you seem like you're fine. So I think everything's fine. But I am a nobody and I don't reply to everything. So why the fuck is Corey a washed up somebody replying to shit like this?
Yes. No, it's one of my favorite things. And because I know we ask the question a lot, like, why is he replying to this? But I just love it. Like, I love that we always stumble upon some other random thing that really makes no sense on why he would even reply. Like, it's usually just straight nonsense. Like, never mind the obvious trolls, like people being mean. But sometimes it's just like literal nonsense. And he's like, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
Please engage in a conversation with me about this.
But yeah, let me see. I think that's kind of it for the Twitter. But we were talking about it earlier and I didn't have it ready. But I do kind of want to talk about Matty O's crash out.
A historic crash out.
Yeah, like I would almost think it has no place on the show, but he's called in enough and people know these calls. So I think people would kind of have a frame of reference on who we're talking about. But hold on, I'm getting these screenshots real quick just so we can properly lay out the tale of the tape. And I mean, and this is just the latest of a bunch of crash outs. He would send emails all the time. He crashed out over gift memberships because he couldn't find the button on how to enable them.
Yeah, he was always demanding like troubleshooting information from us. He'd go in the Discord. I'm sure there are ones that, like, I bet you like E-Rock and Octavia have screenshots of ones I don't even have, because he would do that in the Discord all the time, and I would only see like messages afterwards like, Joe, check it out. And like, and it was like he was going nuts all the time. But here's the thing, like, the very first time he called, that was a night where we had like a bunch of bad callers, and I thought he was prank calling us.
Yeah, I thought he was a character.
Yeah, because the way his voice was just like the voice of someone doing a bit. And so it is very clear that he is a humble and simple man. I'm not surprised that things unintentionally and accidentally reach those levels to him.
Yeah, and honestly, usually I just wouldn't even like address it. But the fact that like I was legit being nice to this kid, and he just would just crash out, and like again, like what I was talking about on the Discord is I feel like he would just mistake my kindness for weakness. And so now it's like, well, fuck you then. You know what I mean?
Well, he misread things all the time though. Because like there was that time when he's like, hey guys, I'm gonna be in town, you wanna hang out? And I made the joke saying I was busy, but we didn't know the date yet. He didn't get as mad at that as he did at a Yo Mama joke.
Yeah.
So it's like he was all over the place, but then like he got super mad when I was kind of like sarcastic when he called in and did the wolf howl, but then he wasn't very mad times when like I've been a little bit more straightforward, like, dude, why are you calling? Do you have anything to say right now? Why are you trying to have a conversation with us? We're in the middle of a show, like, you know that. Like he would pick and choose very odd moments to decide to like kind of geek out.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there was even a moment on the Discord where he like kind of mentioned like offing himself or something like that. And it was like, dude, relax. Like it's not, nothing's that serious. Like, what are you talking about?
We were talking about the pact. Someone made a joke about the pact and he like went over the off the deep end about how he's like, I was strongly considering ending it all. And he wasn't joking because like this guy doesn't make jokes like that. Like, I don't know if he's autistic, but he was like that type of guy where like, if he's saying it, he means it. And, he'd choose very strange things to like fly off the handle about.
Let me see if I can quickly locate the fucking thing that set this off too. Because what was it? Was it on?
It was in the music channel. Because it was.
Well, no,
it
but
was...
When did he call in though? Was it on Wolfpack Wednesday?
Yes. Yes.
Oh shit! The transcript's not up anymore. I was gonna
because it was so innocuous. We all forgot even what it was, and then when we were reminded what it was, I was reminded that like, oh okay, I thought nothing happened. A joke was made, but it was not a joke to be bothered by.
Yeah, I thought I was gonna pull it up, but it doesn't have the transcript. But yeah, basically he called in, and I mean, I think he was egged on by MC, fucking dumbass MC. Take that, MC. Egged him in to call in, and he kind of just was just scrambling for something to bring up. Like, he clearly didn't have anything. So he just kind of was trying to make a thing about Jeff, like, not being able to be responsible at his job. And, you know, hey, like, what do you do? Just show up high and late?
And again, in Jeff's defense, normally he would have lashed out.
Yeah.
And... he made, before he even said that stuff, he made a, oh, I was at your mom's house kind of joke.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, then, my job is fucking your mother or something like that.
Yes, yeah. And then the rest of the call was just him being like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it was very, very restrained by Jeff's standards. So that's why I was shocked that this was the moment that Maddie chose to be, like, furious at Jeff.
Yeah, because and honestly, I mean, even when that happened, I was just like, yeah, I mean, hey, Mattio, we're kind of talking about something right now. Like, I was trying to be nice to him, and he crashed out on Discord that night, and he was sending me messages saying, like, the chat was so mean, and Jeff was so mean.
We did the same thing. Remember when he called and asked me about my band, and I'm like, hey, man, we're in the middle of a show. Send me a message on Discord. I'll give it. So he ended up sending me that message, and I was like, hey, man, I can't find it. I didn't look. I'll admit it, Jim. I didn't even look. I knew where it was. I didn't even bother. And he was very irritated by that answer.
Well, after the call last week, he said, I'm wicked sorry about my shitty call-in. I had the wrong idea. Please tell Jeff I'm sorry. He's like, I don't know anything about him. I'm going to stay away from the whole place and the show for a long time. Fuck those people in the chat for egging me on. I didn't ask for that. And fuck being
that's true. That's fair.
That is fair. I do
agree. People wanted to pretend that they didn't do that, but come on. They knew what they were doing and they knew why they were doing it. And so that part of it is very true.
And he's like, fuck being a musician. It's so lame. I would gladly trade every song I ever made for the ability to make one person laugh.
Oh my God.
It's so sad.
Oh, Jesus.
But here, there are no trades. I'm sorry. And I was like, dude, you don't apologize. It's not a big deal. Because it literally wasn't a big deal.
No, it literally wasn't.
No.
It was over. It was one of those moments that, like, obviously for him, he was probably sitting and dwelling on it.
Yeah.
But, like, for us, the second the phone was hung up, it was over. Like, we weren't going to sit and, like, think about it. We also weren't like shitting on him about it on the show.
Yeah.
So like he had the ability to move on, but I also considering who he is, I can see why he did.
I said, and dude, this is what I said. I said, you don't have to apologize. It's not a big deal. You shouldn't leave, brother. We like you. You should be proud to be a musician. And he's like, it is a big deal to me. I put an image about Jeff in my head that had no business being there. I was dead wrong. And I mean, he started saying all this stuff like AI is going to make music extinct. comedy is immortal, not music. And I just said, dude, Jeff's not upset. Like, I was just trying to calm him down because Jeff wasn't upset.
I wasn't.
In the moment, I think he just had it really was just an offhand comment because, again, we didn't really know how to react. And we were literally in the middle of something. So it's hard to be like, oh, you're calling in to ask us a question has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And then I said, Jeff's not upset about it. He's like, well, that's good. But I admit I was wrong. And I was like, dude, music's eternal. Like, I'm trying to fucking help him out. I'm like, do it for your passion, man. You asked a question. It's not a big deal. And he's like, thanks for that. I just wish I was funny. Good night. And I said, good night, dude. Don't be hard on yourself. You seem like a fun dude. We goof on each other a lot. It's all good fun. No harm, no foul. That was 10:46.
But he's right, Jim. I also wish he was funny.
It was 10:46 p.m. on Wednesday night. So then on Thursday morning, actually, I don't have the timestamp on my screenshot. Hold on. Let me see. What time was this at?
Was this just after him and Jeff had the back and forth in Discord?
Maybe it was. I forgot. So yeah, did they had a back and forth on Discord about it?
Maddie was in Discord talking about like Pearl Jam or Alice in Chains or Alice in Chains. And he said something and then someone didn't like Alice in Chains. And so like Maddie, he just kind of didn't know how to respond. He was like, I get it if you don't like my music, but you're telling me you don't like Alice in Chains, a professional, one of the greatest of all time. I draw the line there. You're just talking crazy. And then Jeff was like, shut up, our slur. You're a fucking idiot.
Okay.
Eat shit. Go to hell. We're like, kind of just like, hey, dude.
That's just what Jeff gave does.
I threw you a bone during the live show, but now it's just like, I'm just going to yell at you. And then him and Maddie went back and forth for a little bit. So I assumed that prompted the email.
Yeah. So then I got the email because, yeah, there's basically at like 1:45 the next day. You're fucking dusted, F slurs. Don't even fucking answer this email. You're fucking dusted.
I love that, by the way, dude. I've been saying that to my cats.
Yes.
I've been saying that to my friends. I'm like, hey, I was like, when I was on the plane today, Jim, you're going to love this.
Yeah.
I was on a plane earlier today, and I was talking to the guy next to me, and I was like, dude, I'm so excited to get off this plane. I'm fucking dusted. And he was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. You're fucking dusted. You can blame Jeff. He's lucky I'm too much of a professional musician who depends on his good reputation to beat the living fucking shit out of him in front of everyone.
Which he probably could do, right? He's probably got that like ape strength.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's got that special strength.
It's like at the beginning of Nope, right?
Yes. Instead, I've uninstalled Discord because you were the only reason I even gave a shit about it. And your show's over in my house or my phone. Fucking laters.
Man, I only have one question for you, Jim. I have one question.
Yeah.
What's it feel like to be fucking dusted, dude?
Dude, unbelievably dusted. I couldn't even believe it. I couldn't believe how dusted I was. So then I replied and I just said, LOL, what?
Oh, no, Jim. He said not to reply. What are you doing?
Honestly, that's the only reason why I replied, because I'm just a fucking, I'm that dude. Like, you're not going to tell me not to reply. And then he said, oh, where was it? Years from now, I will have an answer for Jeff.
Wait, I thought this was the third?
Oh, yeah, hold on. I got him.
There we go. Wait, no, this is even
shit,
later.
They're all out of order. Hold on, let me find it real quick.
Yeah, no, shit. Yeah, where is it?
Yeah, they're, fuck.
Fuck, hold yeah, on. Shit.
Fuck, did I miss one? Hold on, let me go back.
There is one where, like, he's like, what the fuck? I said don't respond.
hold on, let me pull it up just in my email then. LOL, what? No, actually, no, I think it is this one, because this is what I have next. But anyways,
okay, my bad.
Years from now, I'll have an answer for Jeff. He went way too far, like a Karen in front of everyone. And by the way, my mom, he so disgustingly insulted, died last year. So I'm definitely not done with Jeff. As for you, Jim, and also Mike, we're good.
Shit. Oh, I thought I was dusted.
But I'm done with the show and Jeff. For those years, I said, until the time is right for me to deal with him properly.
That's scary as hell. That's like a fucking supernatural crossroads demon where you're like wishing for like something great and you're not thinking about it. Then years later, fucking hellhounds show up and tear you into pieces. You're like, fuck. Oh, no, God. Ah, I didn't even know this was going to happen.
Yeah, he's hitting you with that fucking like, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. But when you least expect it. I'm going to focus 24/7 on my career now, and it's taken off. shit. I keep
taking time off.
Let's see. So it's taken off. So the show hasn't even crossed my mind since I sent this. So I was pretty surprised. Oh, it is this one. Yeah. So I was pretty surprised.
Okay, there's more above. Okay.
I was pretty surprised when you wrote back. Well, what's funny is because, yeah, I didn't see the email. He sent it on like Thursday the 26th, and I didn't stumble upon it until a week later. I was like, wait, what the fuck is this? You're fucking dusted. So, yeah, so he's like, I was pretty surprised you wrote back when I said don't very clearly. I've unsubscribed, unfollowed, and I uninstalled the Discord. My life will be a lot better off and a lot more productive without Jeff's abuse. As for keeping up with Corey, there are other channels for that that have none of the toxic atmosphere it turns out your show has. I'm sure that answers your question. Good day. Signed, wow. Matty O. And then I said, I would advise you to think before sending threats to people. We may have to have our lawyers look into this. We'll call them off if you resubscribe to the show, though, and make sure to watch every episode. If you don't, then we will know.
And we will know. Our yeah. lawyers are very well connected.
We have goddamn photo investigators that E-Rock hires. Of course, we're checking our numbers and who's in the chat.
We've got Tom Simon, yeah. bro. Yeah. You think that you're invisible? You think you're off the grid? Nuh-uh, not to Tom.
Always watching Jim and them. And then he replied, I didn't say very much, so it could hardly be perceived as a threat. Years will go by before anything is done, and it will be completely legal.
This is terrifying. This is maybe the scariest thing I've ever read.
Your lawyers will find nothing, even if I believe you have lawyers or anything else you say. You're a comedy show, you know, so I will not take anything you say seriously. I'm free to not watch your show, and I have lots of other things to watch.
Our lawyers might disagree with us, Jim.
Matty O. And then I said, well, just got off the phone with the paralegal, and she thinks this is a very strong case. So if you're a gambling man, I hope you're lucky, because this does not look good for you. But if you sub back up and send me a screenshot, it'll all go away.
I love, too, that you're probably, like, in the middle of doing truly important things. But then every 10 minutes or so, you'll, like, refresh your Gmail.
Yeah, I'm anxiously looking at I'm like, oh, my God, did he respond? Did he respond?
It's like when you send someone a funny joke and you're like, check, like, have they read the message yet?
So then before he could reply, I also sent him this letter from the law offices of Frank Bruce and Joseph Utzler.
Which are our lawyers, by the way.
Yeah, our lawyers. Otherwise known as maybe violent Joseph Utzler and what's the other guy?
The Honorable Shaggy 2 Law?
Yeah. Demand to cease and desist physical threats against Jeff Murphy, Jim and Them Podcast, and notice of binding legal call to action. Dear Mr. O'Connor, this law firm represents Mr. Jeff Murphy, host of the Jim and Them podcast. We have been, it's all fucking AI fucked up shit. We've been something your address.
Retained?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, retained your address to recent course of contact involving explicit, incredible threats, physical violence directed at the client via electronic communication, specifically emails sent between March 19th, 2026 and April 1st, 2026. Such actions constitute severe violations of federal and state law, including but not limited to 13 U.S. Code Statute 871C, interstate communications, threats, kidnap, and whatever. Michigan comply, blah, blah, blah. Your communications have caused Mr. Murphy substantial distress and fear for his safety. We hereby issue this binding legal call to action. You must immediately cease all forms of communications with Mr. Murphy and refrain from making any further threats. Furthermore, pursuant to a settlement agreement in principle with our clients to avoid immediate filing of civil and criminal complaints, this legal action will be permanently dismissed and all claims waived, provided that you, Matthew O'Connor, verifiably subscribe to the Jim and Them podcast on all major platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and demonstrate, watch or listen to each published episode of the podcast, past, present, and future, for a period of no less than 2 calendar years from the date of this letter. Failure to comply with these terms will result in immediate filing of a lawsuit against you, seeking maximum damages and injunctive relief. Consider this your final notice. And then he said, what do you think I said, dude? I said nothing. Also, I've been under mental health treatments my whole life, so I'm not guilty of anything by reason of insanity.
Whoa, dude. He just fucking Uno reversed that shit on us hard.
Yeah, and I mean, this is wild that he thinks he can go through life and do whatever he wants because he'll just claim insanity. Your lawyer has no case, and you're looking childish trying to scare me into watching your show. I fear nothing.
That's probably true.
Go ahead and waste your time and money. Do your worst. And after I take the insanity plea, I'll plead the fifth.
Woo! He's doubling down on the insanity thing.
Your Honor, not only do I plead insanity, I also plead the fifth, so I'm leaving.
The judge is like, no one's ever done this. No one's ever pled insanity and then also the fifth. He's invincible.
I plead the fifth, and there will be no answer to your questions. You can thank Jeff for causing this. Not only can you not scare me into watching your show, you can't entice me to do it either, because Jeff killed any love I used to have for it. And I have much better things to pay attention to than any show about anything whatsoever that he's a part of. Oh, one more thing. Trying to scare a mental health patient in any way breaks the Americans with Disabilities Act. So you really should just stop. I'm also quite lucky otherwise, so do whatever you want. It will do you no good. Good night.
Is he trying to gym and them? Is he hitting us with a, like...
Yes.
Like... I don't know if the American with Disabilities Act exists, and yes. I don't know if what we did covers is covered by it, but I am like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Fuck.
The only reason why I didn't reply to this is because I remembered that, yes, he, like, threatened to unalive himself, quote, unalive himself on our Discord. I was like, that's all I need. Like, if I keep sending him stuff and all of a sudden I get a call that's some dude's hanging from his rafters because of the goofy emails I was sending him. I mean, maybe it'd be amazing for the show. Who's to say?
I'm pulling on my collar pretty hard right now, Jim.
But either way, I mean, when it comes down to it, I had to reply because, yeah, he was saying, where was it? When he was talking about his Jeff thing. Oh, yeah. I'm done with the show and Jeff for these years, I said, until the time is right for me to deal with him properly.
That's scary.
And then, yeah, going back, like, this dude, this all goes back. I mean, I've been nice to him every single time. This goes back to, yeah, September when he, like, first found us. Let me find that email real quick.
See if I can find one of the crazy messages he sent.
Because, yeah, he had to crash out on Mike first before he had this Jeff crash out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do you have those? That's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. Let me see here. Yeah, this was back in October. These messages are for Mike the asshole. I don't know if you guys get texts at this number, but fuck Mike. He had no fucking reason to treat me like shit like that. I wonder what would happen if I told everyone I know and everyone who follows my music that you did this shit to me for no reason. I'm not
Which would Jim, that's terrifying. Can you imagine if you told four people what happened?
Yeah. And dude, I think literally all you did, I think you shit on his call. Like, you didn't even say anything about him. You were just, I think that was that thing where he was still on the line and you said, like, well, that was a terrible call or something like that. And I was like, oh, he's still there.
He called off topic and howled at us or something.
That's what it was.
And it had nothing to do with anything. And I'm sure I had some snide remark, but it was like, it probably relatively innocent, but just sarcastic. And then, I was like, well, that call was terrible.
Let me see. Yeah. I wasn't kidding that I could just quit watching the show altogether and never watch it again. I'm seriously thinking about it because that's exactly what Mike deserves for this total bullshit. Fuck you, Mike, you fucking asshole. Fairest podcast in the land or whatever you say. Yeah, Mike proved that's bullshit. Also, yeah, that howl was in the key of C major. I'd love to see Mike try to do a howl on a specific musical key because it would be great to see him try that and fuck it up. Also, it's easy for him to make fun of someone and say they're bad at comedy, but I'd like to see him put 41 years and thousands of dollars into making his own music. And see how well that
I'd like
turned
to
out.
See him waste his life. Come on, Mike, waste your life. I'm currently wasting my life on my own stuff, Maddie.
Also, try loading in and setting up tons of gear just to do a show and see how fun he thinks that is. I'd also like to see him try and write one song and record one actually good song just to see how hard it is to do and show it to the world on your podcast, and not a comedy song either. I'd love to see him try and fail at that in front of everyone.
Is this before he knew about like all the bands I had been in and all the music I had written?
It's got to be. Also, I dare him to check out my music. Any of it.
I didn't take that dare, by the way.
And see that I am good at music, unlike Corey. You already have all the links. I bet you have texts to this number turned off, because getting texts like these would be scary, LOL. Also, as furious as I am, I'm totally nonviolent.
My reasons of insanity.
So you have nothing to be scared of, except being wrong about insulting me after you hear my music. Also, I'm totally done calling into the show. That was a huge mistake. It's like you set that like a trap for people. Whoa, all right. So we purposely set him up to look like a fool. It's our fault.
It's our fault.
For having a phone number you can call into, it's completely our fault. By the way, I took too long to hang up, because while I was about to, I had to hear what Mike was going to fucking say. And I was totally fucking shocked by it. I was thinking, quote, what the fuck, dude? What'd I do wrong to deserve this shit? What the fuck? I like that he sounds like someone that doesn't really know how to curse. Like,
yeah, he does, like a little kid who just learned how to curse yesterday.
What the fuck did I ever do?
What the ass? Is this shit for real or fuck?
Except watch your fucking show and try to have fun with it. Is Mike on the fucking rag? Is it that time of the fucking month? What the fucking fuck, Mike? Fucking later, Matty-o.
Fucking dusted, bro.
And dude,
I was dusted back in September and I didn't even know it.
Dude, this was actually end of October. And dude, I'm an idiot, because I was just nice to him after this. I was like, man, I'm sorry that happened, but and that you got upset. But hey, appreciate you listening. I'll just say we're doing a comedy show. It's meant in good fun. It's some light ribbing. And maybe that's not a great excuse for you, but in some cases we're on a topic, and while calls are appreciated, they can be off topic and it throws the rhythm. So we typically expect calls to be a bit in line with the discussion at the time. So I fucking tried to nicely tell him this months ago. And I was like, hey, I appreciate your grind, dude. I don't make music, but I've been out here making comedy for decades. I understand the hard work. Why am I such a nice fucking guy, dude? What's wrong with my dumb ass?
You really do have more patience for some of these people. Like, I feel like I am nice to people when they hit me up, but the second someone's acting like a fool, I am usually like, okay, cool. I don't have time for this, but I am often like shocked how many chances you'll give some of these people.
Yeah, I didn't even realize I was doing it. I didn't realize what a nice dude I'm being to this fucking prick. And then he did reply like, I told you I had wolf howls in my song and did a wolf howl. You call yourselves the wolf pack. So no, it wasn't exactly off topic. It was following the brand of your show. Shut up.
Shut your ass up, Jim.
Yeah.
Wait, Jim. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it hard to argue with facts and logic?
Other than that, that was a nice reply, but it was from you, not Mike. I know you run the show, so you thought it was your duty to apologize for him, but no, that's his responsibility. I know better than expect anything from him except ridicule. As for watching the show, I don't know. I'm at least going to skip anything except the Corey Ween episode. This really sucks for me, because I fell in love with your show.
I like that he has a way to get a hold of me, but instead he sent this email to a place that like he doesn't even know if I look at. I do have access to the email, but I'm not like going in there and reading shit. But he could have messaged me, but he's like, I'll fucking... Mike's dad, Jim, replied to me, but I want Mike to reply to me.
But again, wolf howls are not off topic.
Yeah. If your joke is ever not landing, or we're mad at you for not being on topic, just howl like a wolf, and then we're stuck. We have nothing to say. We can't argue with that.
If you guys call yourself the wolf pack, I guess that covers it. You and Jeff are at least cool. Well, little did we know where that was going to go.
Yeah. Hey, Maddie, we know a little something you don't.
And then he replied again. He's like, I decided to delete the show's number because I'm not a comedian and I'm not funny enough for your show. And I apologize to Mike.
He called like 20 more times after this.
I'm jealous and in awe of comedians. I wish I could trade my ability for music. Dude, he's always on this path. I think he's hoping he's going to run into a djinn that's going to be like, your wish is granted.
Well, I know. I feel like a genie would be like, hey, man, I'm all powerful, but there's even some things I can't that I can't do, dude. Can you give me like a more realistic wish?
Yeah. And then on your birthday, on Halloween, the official apology email to Mike. I have to apologize to Mike for getting mad at him, even though what he did wasn't cool. I overreacted. I get that on reflection. So I apologize, Mike. I hope you have a great birthday. I have to thank you all from the bottom of my heart for including my Twitter battle with the blasphemous goblin ghoul. I don't even remember this, so he must have had a tweet. Yeah.
No, he kept trying to get it. So he kept doing this thing where he'd come in the Discord and be like, guys, I'm trying to get blocked. Here's how shitty Maddie is, that he literally couldn't get Corey to block him.
Ugh.
Can you imagine a world where you're not like, dude, he'll block people for nothing. He'll block people that love him, that ask him a reasonable question. And Maddie was attempting to do it on purpose and couldn't get blocked.
And one of my favorites in between the crash outs in December, he said, gift memberships look fictional. Hey, Jim and them, I'm going to do my best to be as calm about this as possible. And the rest of the show is great, but I'm just going to state my case here with the evidence. Evidence I'm providing you with.
Fellas in the other room. Jim, I thought you were going to be in 10 minutes. Second, babe.
Evidence I'm providing you with two screenshots I took of YouTube options I have on my Android phone. There's no button there anywhere to supposedly, quote, turn on gift memberships. I've heard rumors that it might be a random link that shows up in chat for 1 second and then it's gone. However, it feels like once it's gone, it stays gone. I've been in and watched the chat for pretty much the whole show a lot of times.
What rumors, Jim?
I've never heard this once in my life.
It's fucking like Lizzie Proctor. Like, oh, she's in the woods. She's going to get you. Oh, if you say this into the mirror. Hey, I heard rumors that every once in a while there's a link in the chat, but it's only there for 1 second.
I've never seen anything like that in there either. So where is it, dude? Is it a magic rainbow unicorn going to run onto my screen and say, here's the button, Mattio. It's right there. I need a complete explanation with exact instructions on how to get this done, please. Mattio. And then I just sent him a reply. I said, brother, man, I understand you're frustrated, but remember, I have a YouTube channel. I do not run YouTube. They handle all of that. And then I sent him a fucking Google search. So I was like, here's how to do it.
Like, dude, this guy did not deserve any of the responses you gave him.
He absolutely did not. That's why I was so annoyed when I became dusted this week. Because I was like, I've been nothing but nice to your fucking dumbass. Now I got to hire my lawyers to fucking destroy you.
To legally dust you.
It's funny that we have these people that crash out like this. Because going way back, and we bring this up a lot, is our old friend Shane, who was a huge fan of the show. He loved the show. He used to, like, if he wasn't tuned in live, he would, like, set a computer to record it. And then we did a drinking show 1 week, and he got really fucked up, and he called in a bunch of times just geeking out because he was so wasted. But it wasn't even that bad. He just, like, looked like a fool.
They really weren't that bad. They were just, like, a drunk guy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they were, like, embarrassing, but not to the point, like, where it'd be anything other than, like, oh, man, that was embarrassing. But
they were laugh at yourself embarrassing, not feel bad about yourself embarrassing.
But then he just fucking bounced. He just left. And that's that. He basically excommunicated himself and left because he embarrassed himself so hard. Well,
and even earlier than that, there was Jay Neely. Remember Jay Neely?
Yes, yeah, Jay Neely.
Jay Neely was like hey, we've got 25 people in our chat, and he's one that's there every week. But then he became he was militant in some way. I'm not sure what way, but something about our show suddenly, because of either growing up or maybe meeting someone and adopting their doctrine of beliefs.
Yeah, yeah.
He really, 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 like, hated the show. And he was kind of like, again, the show wasn't huge, so we didn't have, like, a Discord. We had, I think we still had the message board at that time, but he was just sort of, like, exchanging messages with other listeners of the show saying why he doesn't listen anymore. And it was like, it kind of sounded like someone that was like almost like, I don't believe he was born again, but it had that type of vibe to it. Like, oh, I can't listen to that type of stuff anymore. That's against God's will. Like it was that type of vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think he became more, if anything, he became like kind of a woke dude where we were like too edgy for him because he was like going to protests and stuff like that. And
which is weird because like I'm on the show.
Yeah.
I don't know why people treat us like we're a fucking like right wing men's rights activist show or something.
Well, but then the other people say that we're like libtards too. So it's
we can't be both. I guess we can be both. And that's the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Like so either way, people get upset. I was trying to see if I had any of those Shane clips saved, because he was geeking, dude. But it was so funny. He was like, "Jim, I where's Jim? I need Jim."
But here's the thing, Jim. You were dusted. So
yeah, I was dusted, F-slur.
No way to be found. Which that's crazy. Dropping a hard F-slur in all caps in the subject, not even in the body, dude, in the subject.
Well, that's because I mean he's not guilty by reasons of insanity, Mike. So.
That's true. He can say anything he wants. That's sick. I wish I was insane. I wish I was insane like Matty O.
Fuck. All I could find, I think, from Shane here is I think a voicemail he left us on our 6-year celebration. Let's see. Ooh. Let's see what he said.
Hey, Jim and them, this is the Dragoon, and I want to thank you for the hours of entertainment, the 6 long years, and even the Brandon episodes. So I wrote you a letter. Dear Jim, Jake, Jeff, and Mike, I found Jim and them in the summer of 2009. I just moved back to my hometown after a nasty breakup and a complete change in careers. You were already over 100 episodes in, and over the summer, listening to the back catalog helped me get through an awful, depressing time in my life. Since then, I've been an avid listener and staunch supporter, even though my schedule rarely allows me to listen live. I may not have been present or vocal, but I was always there. I want so desperately for you guys to succeed, and I know you will at some point, but at the same time, it actually frightens me to think that one day you will get huge and your show will no longer be my little group of friends who gather around every Friday night, bullshit with each other, make me laugh, and make me happy. I want to thank you for allowing me into each of your lives before it's all over and I'm forced to give up a small but powerful part of my life. Some of us aren't just listeners or even fans. You're our best friends, our brothers. If you take one thing from this letter, I want you to know that I heard it, and it meant the world to me.
Aww.
That was prescient.
Yeah.
That was prescient,
he
Jim.
He knew. He knew he wasn't long for this world.
Dude, that was like one of those things. Like, you know, in a TV show when like, I can't think of a good example, but like
no,
when
I know,
someone well, knows they're going to die talking to someone, and then you afterwards, they're like, oh my God, he knew when he talked to me that he was going to die, but I didn't know.
Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, in like, in an early or mid season 4 episode of Buffy, they have like a weird offhand comment / hint at the character of Dawn, which doesn't show up until season 5. So yeah, it's like one of those things, like he knew he loved us so much that it was going to end in a tragedy.
Yeah. Well, he knew that was going to happen, and he knew about all the Corey stuff that was going to make our show blow up.
Yes.
But yeah, imagine that guy. Imagine the guy that sent us that message on our anniversary, hearing one voicemail of himself being like, oh, you guys fucking God. and then piecing out immediately and forever.
Yeah,
it was really wild. We even showed up on the show like multiple times after that, like for the next couple weeks, like, hey man, we hope you're listening. Come back. You have nothing to be sad about. And he never came back.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That really, especially hearing that now, it really is like, oh man, what a bum out, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to think. But and here's the thing. And if you're listening right now, DB Deathlord, this is not an insult, but DB Deathlord leaves voicemails that are more embarrassing than what Shane left when he was drunk, just as a normal voicemail. And DB is still like, yo, what up? I'm back. I'm here. I'm never leaving. DB knows exactly how to act
after
a voicemail. Shane left something that wasn't even like a shadow of some of the stuff that we've gotten and pieced out and out of faux embarrassment, I guess.
Yeah, dude, he shamed himself so hard he bounced. I mean, yeah, I like to think that maybe he's still out there listening, but he couldn't just face the community anymore. He had to just keep a secret thing for himself. From here,
I would love if he's listening right now and he forgot about that message and now he's realizing even it's crazy even to him how hard he nailed everything in that message.
Yeah. Good times. Well, shit, fuck, it's late. I guess that's about fucking, I don't know if you can hear this music or not, Mike. But it's about that time where it's favorite part of the show.
Something made me laugh out loud because I was listening to the beginning. Fuck, I wish I could remember what it was. You said something that made me laugh so hard. Fuck, I can't remember what it was.
Oh yeah, MC in the chat. Yeah, Shane Culkin, come back as well. Let me say, well, I got to give it up to Chris Hansen. What a goddamn consummate professional. An amazing cameo. We're gonna get some great leverage out of that clip. Really appreciate how quick he was with it. Highly recommend if you're thinking about goofing on your friends and having Chris Hansen imply that they're a predator. Well, dude, worth the money.
Jim, what if you want to like throw friends out? What if you're in the middle of a fight with an enemy and you want to like, yes, you didn't even realize that, like, so he's got like a rifle and he doesn't even realize that like the red laser is pointing at him and the fucking nuke is on its way. And then you drop a fucking Chris Hansen calling him a pedo video. There's no recovering from that.
Absolutely not. Also, I mean, I loved the moments of Corey in that interview where you could see that he's so fucking upset that people are talking, but they're not talking about him. And especially when he's over the top yawning while Jerry's telling a story with Rob Reiner.
That's so funny. He's just yawning.
I really appreciate all the calls tonight. Thank you guys for fucking hanging with your boy. I really appreciate Mike hanging for part two.
Sorry, I could only make it to part two. I will say, Jim.
Yeah.
You were lumping me in with Jeff a whole lot. And I know it was mostly jokes, but I say this all the time. The listeners don't fucking know it's jokes, Jim. And you need to carry that responsibility a little heavier, my friend.
Well, part of me just kept thinking, like, Mike ain't listening. Jeff won't hear this. I was like, no.
I care. I give a shit.
Adam Schott. Yeah, thank you, Ross Dog. Shout-outs to Adam Scott. Happy birthday. Happy 53rd, big dog.
I need to sneak back in the bathroom and be like, dude, my diarrhea was nuts, dude. I'm so sorry. I was out of it for a bit, but I'm back, dude. We were playing Rock Band, and he paused it, and I left in the middle of it, so he's probably still just waiting for me to come back.
I always love when a Corey joke goes wrong, too, with his whole April Fool's Day thing. Very reminiscent of his birthday promotion. So, man, what a great show we have. So many great moments. And actually, thank you... was it Rasta? No, Leo. Thank you, Leo, in the chat for reminding me about the super chats. Let me get caught up on these before we leave. I always forget the ones towards the end, so I appreciate the reminder.
Good evening, cowards.
Obama!
He has already crossed the line into both slander and libel. You have a good case against his direct accusations, and he has a very weak case against your comedic commentary. Man running emoji. Pickup truck emoji. Pickup.
Thank you, Rick Lanise.
I take legal advice exclusively from Rick Lanise.
Absolutely. If someone's going to give me legal advice that I believe, it's going to be Rick Lanise. So thank you, dude.
Good evening, cowards.
Obama!
Hey, guys. It's Matty Ono.
Thank you, Zenpai. Matty Ono in the building.
Obama!
An anti-Matteo podcast. Every episode.
Zenpai again with another good one. Thank you, dude.
Obama!
Matteo equals De Niro in Cape Fear.
Leo Vegas Goon, thank you for the $5 super chat.
I just suck at everything I do.
Actually, I think that was Rick Lanise, been a member for 4 months. This guy is a liability to the show, either as a perp or victim. You know what? You're all right, because it's either he hurts himself and it's our fault, or he hurts us and it's our fault.
I think I said that to you, Jim. I'm like, dude, everybody wins from this.
Yeah.
Because he clearly doesn't know how to enjoy something in a healthy way. And we have to deal with him all the time. So both of us are going to be better off.
Obama!
You fools, don't you see? Jerry O'Connell, Matthew O'Connell, welcome to the... Take the red pill. It's called clozapine.
I did notice a Matthew O'Connell, and I thought the same thing, Zenpai. So I do think that the world is closing in. More and more people are reaching out to your boys. Like I mentioned, we're going to have Scotty Schwartz on the show soon. And he knew the Coreys way back in the day in the shit of it. Back in the shit of it of the 80s.
And he fucking hates Corey.
Yeah, he hates him. good times ahead.
Okay, I think I heard something that makes me want to talk about patreon.com/JimAndThem. Jim,
yes,
that is where people should go if they want bonus content from us. Do you think we're funny? Did you like the show? Did you enjoy it? It's always going to be here for you. It's never going to be gone. It might literally drive you crazy, as has been shown with certain people, but it's always going to be here for you. But if that's not enough and you need more, go to patreon.com/JimAndThem, where we've got all sorts of bonus shows. And this is not just like one or two shows, like one thing a month. They're 20 minutes long. No, these are full-on things. Like, they could all be their own thing, realistically. But if you enjoy us, then you'll enjoy it. You can even join the free tier. If you're not quite sure if you're ready for it, join the free tier. Go to the collections. There's a whole collection of free stuff. Listen to all of it. If you like it, you're going to want to subscribe, and I know that you're going to like it. So check it out. Jim, what do we have up for people brand new right now?
We got a new episode of Jimtervention, where you can just hang out with your boys, watch an intervention. Might sound weird, but it's a blast. It's very fun. Of course, you get the video archives, the podcast feed. We also have part zeros available. We've got movie commentaries. We've got what was the movie? Oh, Dream a Little Dream, of course. We got Dream a Little Dream currently available. None of us had seen it before watching it for the commentary. We thought it sucked.
It was real bad.
But it's worth hanging with your boys to watch. That's just a tip of the iceberg. We also got Watch This, where we discuss new movies and give our thoughts and reviews. We've got Pitchstorming Ain't Easy, which I'm finally going to put a new one of that up this week. We recorded a couple weeks ago. That's where we pick a character and a location. We plan out our own film, and then we give that same character and location to AI to see who comes up with the better film. Spoiler alert, your boys are undefeated so far, but AI's kind of nipping at our toes, so... stay tuned for that. And there's lots, lots more where that came from. We got so much content at patreon.com/JimAndThem.
Yet, Jim, somehow we even have more than that, because you can go to showswhatyouknow.com. And what are the people going to find there, Jim?
Ooh, showswhatyouknow.com. I host a podcast discussing television shows with Jacob Burrows. We talk about new television shows. We talk about classic shows like The Sopranos. We've discussed every episode. We've delved into Stranger Things, the fucking Handmaid's Tale, all kinds of stuff. You can find it at showswhatyouknow.com. I'm slacking on the latest episode, but it's going up soon. So get on there, subscribe. We're on YouTube. We're on showswhatyouknow.com. You find us in any podcatcher. Check it out.
Jim, Hackamania is next week. And can I tell you personally, I'm feeling the hype. I'm really fucking excited.
Yes.
We've done a lot of stuff. And every once in a while, I'm like, oh, how's this going to be? How's that going to be? And I was apprehensive at first. I wasn't sure how I felt about what it was going to be like being at Hackamania. But now I'm like all cylinders are pounding. I'm pedal to the metal. I'm all for it. I'm super excited to be there. I think everybody that shows up is going to be excited to see us. Hackamania is next week. So my endorsement is to come and see us or digitally view us at Hackamania so you can physically see that excitement in real time. It's going to be palpable. You're going to be able to feel it through the screen. It's going to be fantastic.
Hell yes. Yes. You can go in person and see your boys. And there is going to be a pay-per-view option, which you can get in on Hackamania.com. If you do make that purchase, make sure you click on the schedule. Click on the Jim and Them show. I don't know if it helps us or not, but you might as well. Might as well let them know who you're purchasing it for. And if you don't want to purchase it, that's fine too. We will end up getting the recording of the video and everything, and we'll be able to release that on our own as well. So either way, you'll get to take part, and we will have a stream still going on the feed next week that'll have some classic moments as well as our Alamo Drafthouse Q&A, the full version, which hasn't been released yet. So there's something for everybody. Your boys will not leave you hanging on Friday night. Don't you worry. So thank you for hanging out with us. And that was, you said that was your recommendation, right?
That's my endorsement. My endorsement is being as excited as me, Mike Steele, is to be at Hackamania. You should be that excited to watch us at Hackamania.
Fuck yeah. Well, on that, I'm Jim.
And we're them.
And we're out.
Word.